Welcome to Ask Win, everyone. Today I have Selena with me, and Selena and I are going to talk about healing old wounds, which for me that's near to my heart because for those of you who have been hanging out with me for a long time, you know I lost my dad, and you know I'm in the process of losing my dad. I had to sell my dad's house, which then turned mine, and move. So basically, we're going to be talking about old wounds. So I'm going to let Felina share her story and take it away.
Hey there. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really, really honored to be here. This is a topic that's been, I think that's good for healing old wounds or even recent ones, I think is kind of important for everybody, right? After all the stuff we've all been through in the last few years. I also lost my dad. I lost him a year ago. It was December 20th, 2021. And, I'd gone back for Christmas and I decided to come back early. I drove down early, got there at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the following day, around 12 hours later, he left this world without any warning. And I was so grateful to be there. I was also there when my mom left, when you and I were talking about we both lost mom and dad. Yours was 2010, is that what you said? Your mom?
My mom was 2010, yes, ma'am.
Mine was the December 19th, one day different from my dad, but in 2005. So, even though I was really grateful to be there for him, and I'd given him a really, it was a really great day. I mean, given because he was on oxygen, had COPD and stuff like that. And I had stayed with him for 4.5 months during the pandemic to help out, and because my siblings all had kids. So they were high risk. You can't be around a COPD person when that initial, especially when the initial pandemic was so about the respiratory system, and he already had respiratory problems. So I stayed with him, washed all of his stuff, and cut to December 20th, 2021. He leaves this world, I mean, literally without any warning. We had a really great day. We played Clue. He used to be a detective in real life. So we had a friend of the family over, and she's like, "You better bring it, Mac. You're a detective. You better win." And he ended up winning the game and was super proud of it and was explaining to us how he won. She said goodbye. We went out to the porch, and we were talking about putting on a fire because it was cold. It was December in Northern California. And I said, "Speaking of cold, I have to go get Sophia's coat." And I walked inside, got her coat, came back out to the porch where he was, started putting it on her, and he left the world while I was doing that. Just sitting up, left. And he always said he wanted to go that way really quick or in his sleep. And I'd like him to come back from the great beyond and tell me how he did it. Because I'm like, "You always plan that?" And I would call up and I'm like, "How you doing, Dad?" He's like, "Well, I'm still vertical." And that is how he left the world. But that said, we're talking about wounds. Regardless of the fact that I'm very grateful I came down early, it was a gift. It was a gift from somebody watching over both of us because I'm so glad I was able to be there. Losing him was just such a huge shock, especially because we'd spent so much time. We were very close anyway, but we spent so much time together during the pandemic, and then to have it be out of the blue. And mom's anniversary of her leaving was the day prior. So it was just like, it just hit me. And the pandemic was still raging through my cells, right? You still have that kind of the grief of what we all went through, the absence of each other's company, the absence of just normal public company, seeing people out in public settings. It's not just about restaurants or whatever, it's about the energy you feel when you're in a room with another human being, right? There's just something very palpable about that. And we all lost that for a long time. And it was a very weird feeling for everybody where you're kind of in this limbo state where you don't know when it's going to end, if it's going to end, if you're going to be one of the people like in the movies who gets infected, like you don't know. So all of us, I think, are kind of going through a weird, oh, we're all back to normal, but something feels weird. So how do you go about the healing of that? Like, how do you do the healing of that wound that we all universally Because it's like, it wasn't just the United States. It was the world went and shut down, the entire world. So everybody is now like, okay, we're going forward. There's still some spatterings of this. It's not as strong of a thing. But the fear, I think, really got into ourselves. And then you lose your dad, as you did and I did during this. That's just like, and compound that. And anything else other people lost, I know some people lost relationships or children or
Jobs.
jobs. Oh, right, jobs. I mean, God, money got terrifying. Everything got so much. So what do you do? So since we're here to talk about like healing this, now that I've regurgitated what we already know, that it was hard, let's talk about like how do you get over it? Because I've been really working on that, and I would love to. You know, I thought about something the other day because I write books. I'm a novelist. And I realized that one of the reasons why stories matter is because, so why my sharing my story about my dad and about how to get over healing matters is we learn from stories how it was done and how we could do it if we wanted to. Everybody gets to make the choice. That's my alarm for, we get to make the choice, right? If we want to do it that way. But hearing everybody's stories, you learn from them and you say, oh, they did it. That means I could do it. If you haven't seen it done, sometimes you don't know. And like, so anyway, my point is, let's talk about the healing stuff. So what do you do? I'm curious, when what have you done to get yourself, because like I said, I'd met Wynn before one time before this interview. I told her, I met you once before, and you just have so much light, so much more light today. So you've obviously been doing something. So share with us what you've been doing.
Well, for those of you that don't know, I did lose my dad in 2019. You guys know that. And for those of you that don't know that I had to move, I had to sell my dad's house and move my house slash my dad's house. I had to sell because it was falling down around me. It was a mess. The house itself was a mess. I can finally admit that to people that all of my fan base and they only know, well, you guys know me now because if you stuck around long enough, you guys know me. So, and so the house itself was falling down around me. Plus, my stepmom wasn't, and I'll admit this too, she wasn't the best at taking care of me too. So, not only did we have the loss of my dad in 2019, we also had the world shut down in 2020, and then by the time of 2022 hit, I needed to get out of Aspen and sell my house. And that was a challenge. Selling the house wasn't a challenge. Telling my stepmom that I was selling the house was a major challenge. Because she didn't want to talk to me for 2 days. 2 days when I made the announcement, and when I made the announcement to her that I was selling the house and I would land up somewhere, I didn't know I was Arizona, but I am now living on my own, and now I'm happy as clam living on my own. Things have changed in a major way because I have more opportunities down here in Phoenix, Arizona, because of I needed to save myself and save my lungs. I mean, there was mold growing in my ex-house, mold, and by the time they mold and cotton. And by the time
Cotton?
they pulled, cotton was going in the door and staying on the shelves. Plus, we had mold. Plus, we had every which way of everything. We had asbestos, which is not good. We
No.
had, when people called me about my house, they go, "Oh, by the way, Wynn, you had asbestos underneath your flooring in your laundry room. You know that, right?" And I'm like, I figured I did because I was coughing 1,000 miles a minute and I was an asthmatic. I am an asthmatic to begin with. So I'm like, yeah, this was not a good situation for an asthmatic to be in. And so we had mold, we had asbestos, we had cotton coming in off the trees and sitting on my shelves. I mean, people will tell me when they pulled off the books on the bookshelf, it was mold. It was mold underneath those books on the bookshelf. So
yeah.
that's why I have more light in my eyes, because I am a happier camper. My lungs are happier. My lungs are happier being away from a cat, too.
Yeah.
My sister had the cat, and she'll, I'll tell you.
You got the asthma. That's going to be hard if you have a cat problem.
This
Yeah.
is now becoming public. She said to me, "My cat won't bother your lungs." And I'm like, "Well, it bothers your biological man's lungs. I know that." And because she's asthmatic too. And so why wouldn't it bother mine if it's, yeah. So
that's gaslighting.
Long
No,
story.
my cat won't hurt you. You're fine.
Yeah,
No, I'm actually
fine.
not.
No,
I can't breathe.
No, and I can't breathe. And I'm so I'm happier to the financial move down to Arizona was the best move that I ever made in my life, to move, to just move out of the state where I was, move to a different state, and then just rebuild my life.
What made you choose Arizona? So I know the financial move was good, but for those who are listening, if they're looking at a move, what made you go, this is the place? Was it instinct, or did you do some research on the landscape?
Arizona found me. Arizona actually found me. I got an amazing housing opportunity that I couldn't turn down. So I was 99% positive to move to the East Coast, because that's where my family is. That's where my network is. My family's not in Arizona. My network is not in Arizona. They're still on the East Coast. But Arizona found me because I got an amazing housing opportunity that I couldn't turn down. I'm living in an apartment complex with 30 homes in it, and it's all disabled friendly. So basically, I live with Down syndrome, I live with an eating disorder, I live with autism, I live with Angelman syndrome. Angelman syndrome is newly diagnosed. So I am the only one in here with CP, but at least I live in an inclusive community with disability. So not, and this is not a group home by any means. This is not a group home.
Oh no, I can see. Yeah, for those of you listening, I can see her place. It's freaking adorable. Very stylish.
Yes. And what it is individual condos. What it is individual condos. So yes, I have my own condo in Arizona. And
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say kudos for taking that inspiration and running with it. Cause a lot of times I think that the inspiration, that's one of my things I wanted to share, is when you have the instincts, when I actually got a tattoo at the end of 2020, January, I think 2020. It says follow all instincts, and it's on my wrist. It's to remind me, because I used to follow impulses, were more based, because impulses to me, just I'm not looking up the word with the dictionary, but to me, an impulse that I used to go on would be fear-based or some kind of weird thing. But this instincts are the gut, heart knowledge, the gut heart knowledge of something I could do or should not do. And then it's up to me to act on it. And it sounds like you acted on that. I mean, if we just all listen to our instincts more, which takes a lot of introspective time alone, which of course the pandemic gave us tons of, right? Then we have, I think that something is, I think maybe something is guiding us. Maybe even if it's just our higher selves or our future self or whatever kind of thing you want to picture, then we have that. Because you said, oh, I had this opportunity in Arizona, and you could have stayed with the network, you could have stayed with your family, you could have done all that stuff, which is normal and the normal box of what should be, especially because you are dealing with this disability. You could have been like, well, I'm going to be safe. And you're like, no, actually, I'm going to go over here and try something new. And look, you know, you've got this thing with PBS. You're doing something with Arizona
I'm
PBS.
doing it
Amazing.
as on a PDF. Which I'll paste when it's ready. I actually fought for a sound wall outside my house because for some weird reason they put a sound wall towards the desert and not towards the houses. And living on the 101, for those of you that actually live on the 101, whether it's LA or Arizona, you know the 101 is the noisiest highway ever. So it doesn't stop because it goes through Phoenix, Arizona, and also partially goes through LA. So
Yeah, when you're living on a busy freeway, you need that sound gone. I've done that too.
Sound gone. And so the state of Arizona, ADOT said to me, well, we can't have it done. We can't have it done. So basically, what happened is a senator came out here. He's now ex-senator. He just retired as of January 9th. So a senator came out here and said, man, you need a sound wall so bad, it's not even funny. And so I am going to take it back to the House of Arizona, figure out how to sponsor a bill to get the sound wall done. And so I had to go testify at the House and the Senate of Representatives to say why, and ADOT said Arizona Roads and Transportation said no way, no how, we won't do this. And both the House and the Senate said, oh yes, you will do this, and you will do it in the time frame that we give you. So now ADOT is like now, because they are thinking, shit, now we have to do it because now it's law. So they're going to start.
You're a badass. You're like, oh, don't mess with me.
In 2023, sometime in 2023. And I keep saying to people, don't mess with me. I'll mess with you right back, because I want my sanity back. I want my quiet back. I mean, you can hear it right now because I have my door closed. But when I open up my door, my front door, I could so hear the 101 on a good
Yes,
day. And
I
on a
hear
bad day, I could hear it inside this house. So, yeah.
Well, that's about, I mean, that's awesome. I love that you did that. I love that you did that. I have do, 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 do. Oh, so talking about how do you heal, get over wounds. So there's some other things just for people if they're listening and like have a notepad and want to know. Not, you don't need a notepad. I'm just saying if they're like, I want to know. One of the things I do is you spend time on things you love. There's so many things that are calling to us that we have to do, but if we spend more time on things we love, then we can, what's the word? We start building up a reservoir of good feelings. And from good feelings, more good feelings come, more good things. I believe in the law of attraction. When you're walking around, even if it's just for perception only, if you're in a bad mood and everything's horrible and everything feels bad and you're not doing anything that you love, it feels like more bad things are coming. But if you are doing things that you love and you're having some love within your day, you're having like maybe a daily morning routine where you write down some things that are on your mind and getting them out of your system, or writing down things you'd love to do so that you see them every day and have a goal, or you're just doing a daily coffee in the same way and walking your dog in the same way, or you pet your cat in the same, and you just tell yourself as you're doing it something really positive about what you like about your life. You start building up these good feelings and then moving into the day. Maybe you have a list of people who really make you feel good, who you want to place a call to and not just text, but actually connect with. I think that's one of the things the pandemic could give us if we hold on to it, is the need for connection was such a palpable thing. And a lot of us have gone back to the screens. So it'd be cool if you say, you know, I actually want to call that person. I love that person. Like, and I'm not going to ask them anything. I'm going to just ask how they are and just kind of be there and then see how those relationships go, where, you know, the good people also ask how you are, even if they don't in that conversation, even if like you need to build up a reservoir because you've been pulling at them for so long. I'm just talking about sometimes some people do this. But, you know, start spending time with people you love, things you love. Because when you start doing that, you know how it is when you're in a good mood and somebody cuts you off on the road or interrupts you or does something, it doesn't bother you as much. But if you're depleted and you're tired and you're sad, then everything feels like it's, you know, glass against skin, you know, just cutting. But if you're in a good mood, it doesn't. So how do you build up more of the good mood? And that's where I think the healing begins. And then with after that, you can do some journaling. Writing letters to yourself in the past, to yourself in the future. This is what made me sad about this time. I am now putting this to rest. I'm going to burn this, possibly, if you have a way to burn it safely, burning it in a fireplace, burning it in a metal canister, burning it outside on rocks where there is nothing that can catch fire, you know, safely burning it is a very healing thing, ashes to ashes. And then a letter to your future self. I'm so out there for you. I mean, I am here. I got this, baby. We are out there doing fantastic things. This is what we're going to do. And you just kind of continue to do this. And it's like they say in Al-Anon. Al-Anon's a fantastic program, AA as well, but Al-Anon's the sister program for those affected by alcoholism and really any isms. There's a lot of people who go to Al-Anon meetings and they're totally free, which is amazing. But they do the one day at a time thing. And if you do something one day at a time, no matter how shitty you feel, if you do good things one day at a time, the shitty feeling starts to go away until it becomes the anomaly, not the good feeling, where you start going, oh, I don't feel so good. And that's not normal because I'm now used to feeling good. And if I just said that really quickly, because I know I talk fast, go ahead and rewind and listen to that again. The more we feel good, the less we feel bad, which means when we do feel bad, we pay attention because it's rare. Whereas if you're feeling bad all the time, the feeling good can't almost even be accepted because it's so rare. Same with the bad. If you're feeling good all the time, the bad isn't accepted. You're like, oh, I don't like how that person's treating me. It turns out I didn't notice that for years, for example, sorry, for years, I didn't like how this person is treating me. And now because I'm feeling good about myself and good about my life, they stick out like a sore thumb and I can leave. And you have then the wherewithal to make any change. It's not a person. It could be a job. It could be a relationship. It could just be something you're doing for yourself that's harmful. But if you do more good things, you've built up this reservoir that then your cup runneth over, so to speak. You know, I'm quoting that. I'm not sure if it's from the Bible or Shakespeare, but the cup runneth over thing, that concept is I think where healing really begins, because then everything is easier. You feel better. You can approach everything better. And wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. And as we wrap this interview up, where can the people find you? Where can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more about your books?
Oh, yeah. My books are all on Amazon. My name is Felina Hopkins, but I just dropped the Hopkins for creative and personal reasons. I'm just going by Felina now. So if they look up Felina on Amazon, they'll pop up. They'll actually can pop up with Felina Hopkins too. In fact, the website is still authorfelinahopkins.com. And Felina is Faleena, which you'll be able to see on the podcast's title, of course, out on the way. I'm just so used to spelling it. People are like, what? What is it? Selena? Anyway, yeah. So, but Amazon's a great way to find me, and the website is there. And when it isn't, if I change it and get rid of the last name from it, it will be rerouted to the new one. So you can still search for it, and it'll move over the address for
Oh,
you.
go look on Amazon,
Yeah.
Felina, you guys, go look on Amazon and go find my work is floating all over the place too. My work is
Yeah.
on too, and go look up I, comma Win, and that's the original book. You can find more about me too, and along with this podcast, and I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, and I certainly did. And I hope to see you guys in the next episode. Bye, you guys. Thanks, you guys. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.